The Walker Brothers' track record is absolutely remarkable. Two gigantic number ones, a fistful of top 20 hits, and over 23 million records sold worldwide. And now, 40 years on, a new definitive collection gathers all the hits together with a selection of album favourites and some of the highlights from Scott Walker's solo career, which he embarked on after leaving the trio in 1967. Well, now, earlier this week, I spoke to John and Gary from the Walker Brothers, and I was intrigued. And I just asked if they could clear up slight confusion of mine why they call themselves the Walker Brothers when none of them were actually christened with that name.
Do you want to know the story fully? It's
quite long, isn't it, Martin? No.
In your own words.
We'll make it easy.
Make it easy on yourself.
Yes, we'll make it very easy. Everybody thought that Scott and I were brothers. Then Gary came along and they thought, well, he must be a brother too. So they just decided to call us the Walker Brothers.
You're a duo rather than a trio now.
Well, actually, we're not a duo either. We are, shall we say, partners in crime.
Yeah, we're both doing some single stuff now.
Gary's working as, he works as a solo artist, and I work as a solo artist. Scott works as a solo artist.
Do you mean to say we're no longer going to hear the two of you, or even the three of you anymore on CD?
Well, you'll hear the CDs, but they'll be re-releases.
How many times has your songs, I mean, every time I look at a compilation album, we get one of the Walker Brothers. You haven't any idea how many you've appeared on in the past, I suppose.
Well, I know there was at least 17 compilations that I've seen. I don't know how many compilations of, like, you know, when they have various artist-type compilations. I don't know how many of those there are. It kind of is an indeterminable number.
And are you going out on the road to sing these songs again?
Well, Uncle John is.
Yeah, John will be out there doing some stuff. He's working on an album he's almost finished. I'm trying to get the group I had in the 60s back together, and hopefully that'll get ordered and everything will be all right.
Tell me, what's the story behind your first number one, Make It Easy? Did you ever imagine it would become it's an anthem now. What can you tell us about this?
The song was originally recorded by Jerry Butler in the 50s. It was just an incredible recording, an incredible song, and I remember actually saying to Scott and our production people, I just said, you know what, this has got to be the next record. And they looked at me with that look, and they played the song, and they said, you know what, I think you're right. I think it would be terribly hard to find a better piece of material. We recorded it, and it just went up the charts, and there it was. It was number one, and it just kind of stayed there, and it was kind of a nice thing.
Oh, breaking up is so very hard to do.
Of all the songs over the years, what are you most proud of, gentlemen?
Oh, that's a tough one.
I say... Well, all of them, really. I mean, any time they did anything, it was quite bizarre. I remember the Sun and the Shine, and it was done at Phillips, and they brought all the crowd in, the orchestra and everything, and they did their thing, and then Scott went out and sang it, and then John went out and put some of the harmony on it, and it was done in one take, and then we went around to the Chinese. And that was it. It was quite bizarre. It was just done very straightforward. And they've always picked tunes, as John will tell you, that we never threw kind of tunes away. If it was a B-side, the B-side should almost be an A-side. And I think we're proud of all of them because they've lasted this long. I mean, The Sun was one of the first records to be in the number one for 4 weeks. That wasn't done in those days. And all the songs were good. We were just... you have to be proud of them all. And when you talk to somebody about these type of tunes and that, the more mature audience, as we call them, they can remember that, and they go instantly back to that period of time. But if I ask any of these, or even some of the younger ones, what was number one 2 months ago, there's a dead blank, and nobody knows. But all through that, we were through a great period, and I think we're proud of everything.
The sun ain't gonna shine anymore, from the Walker Brothers here on VFBS Radio 2. Along with the Beatles, you were the biggest band in the country once upon a time. John, is it true that you had to move house every few months because the fans would find you and camp outside the door?
Absolutely. It was kind of really amazing because at the time I had two Alsatians, and I'd always try to find a place near a park. So I lived at Primrose Hill for a while, and in the end, my upstairs neighbor used to take my dogs out because I couldn't, you know. And it was, and then they'd walk around looking at the dogs. I think I moved probably that year, probably about four or five times that particular year. And what we used to do was, like, in the middle of the night, the roadie'd come in and grab all the stuff, and I'd get in a cab and go somewhere, and you know, we'd meet back at the new address. It was all clandestine, you know, and it was like the middle of the night stuff. But you know, it was totally bizarre, but in a way, it was kind of amusing too, I suppose.
Well, you split in 1967, and then you reformed in 1975. Was a little, having had all that wonderful praise and all that attention, was it a bit of a sort of relief to go into anonymity for a while and then come out again?
Oh yes, it was. It was a little bit peaceful. I remember I went back. I lived in France for a little bit, and then I went back to California. Just before, I think it was about 1974, I went back to California. And I was sitting there, and I was watching television, and we did the theme for a movie called Deadlier Than the Male. And the movie came on. And I was sitting there, and I listened to the theme, and I thought, boy, that sure sounds good. I think I'll call Scott. And I called Scott up, and I said, hey, man, what are you doing? He said, well, you know, I'm hanging out here in Holland and, you know, whatever he was doing. And I said, why don't we meet in England and think about doing some recording? And he said, cool, I'll call Gary. I said, all right. And that was, you know, that was how we actually got back together at that period of time. And so, you know, and then we did, you know, No Regrets and a couple albums and things. And the odd thing was we did it again. Three albums later, we kind of drifted off again.
I know you're leaving. It's too long.
Forgive me for asking this question, gentlemen, but what's Scott doing now, and are you still friends? I asked you a little bit earlier on in the conversation, but you sort of pushed it aside. What's the real situation?
Well, Scott has an album coming out now that he's been working on for several years, and I think that, you know, that this bears a little explanation. Scott's always wanted to do things that were very experimental when it comes to music, and he's always used his popularity and basically his celebrity, if you like, to try to promote various things. It's like he did with Jack Burrell. Nobody mentioned Jack Burrell's name to me in the pop business before Scott did the Jack Burrell songs. Mm. And funnily enough, I didn't even realize that Jack Burrell wrote one of the most beautiful songs, If You Go Away, was a Jack Burrell song. I didn't know that. You know, it's just, he was an obscure person. And the latest thing that Scott's been working on is very, very experimental. He's doing something that probably is, if you really go back in history, dates back into like the 48s, 50s, when Pierre Schaeffer in France was working on a thing called Musique Concrète, which was taking natural sounds and doing things with them and applying some kind of musical form to them. And that's what Scott's doing at the moment. And it's his way of presenting something very, in this case, will be new to the public, because he's doing it in his way with his slant on it. And it's actually interesting.
If you go away.
Gentlemen, what about you? What's for the future?
As far as the future, John's got an album out of CD that he's almost finished that he's working on, and I'm trying to do this thing that I did with Gary Walker in the Rain, and which was quite a successful thing also. We're trying to do a second follow-up to that, and a few releases of things now, being 40 years in that. We won't mention the years, but a few things just coming up. We just have to see as they develop and what happens from them.
And a whole reunion is not on the cards at all?
I don't believe so.
Well, gentlemen, whatever you're doing, it's very nice of you to talk to us today on BFBS Radio 2. John and Gary, we wish you all the very best and have a very happy Easter.
Yeah, thank you for that, and send our best wishes to everybody that's out there, and hope everything is okay with everyone.